Good afternoon. I'll start kind of with a synopsis of what we've been doing here in the last week or so. It's been a good week for us, really. We've approached it much like we would approach an in-season bye week. It was an opportunity for us to look at ourselves, to look at what we do, the quality in which we've done it, the division of labor within what we do, who we're asking to do what. It was a great opportunity for us to take a step back from that perspective and really analyze ourselves in all three phases. Maybe that doesn't produce a lot of changes or personality changes, but it's still a good, healthy exercise nonetheless, to think critically about why you do what it is you do, the quality in which you do it, and the analysis of that, and how you divide the labor up. We did those things. We did some physical work with those that are available. It also provided those that needed time, rehabilitation. It also provided that. Some of the veteran players didn't take as many physical reps. Some of the guys have been dealing with injury. It was a great opportunity for them, obviously, to continue rehab. It was a great week for Antonio. We practiced yesterday. He was a full participant in practice. We're excited about where he is. Obviously, we'll continue to monitor his participation throughout the week and really gauge his availability based on that. We can't take steps backwards as we prepare collectively and obviously with him in terms of his physical health. The only other injury really to speak of is B.J. Finney, who was injured in game week 17. He's been out. He's got a chance to participate this week, and we'll let the amount of participation and the quality of that participation determine whether or not he's in a helmet or not as we get in toward the weekend. We're extremely excited about being in this tournament. We don't take it for granted. You know, there are 24 teams that are on vacation. There are 8 teams remaining. It's great to be within that 8, but we're singularly focused on this week and specifically the journey that is the preparation of this week. Obviously, we're excited about stepping into Heinz Field and playing playoff football in front of Steeler Nation. But, boy, a lot has to transpire between now and then. We've got some quality days of prep in front of us. Obviously, we're playing a good team in Jacksonville Jaguars, so we're going to utilize that time well. I'll spend some time talking about Jacksonville, and then I'll open it up for questions. You know, you look at Jayville, obviously, if you look at them from an offensive perspective, they're the number one rushing team in the NFL. They ran the ball extremely effectively against us last time. Leonard Fournette was central to that. But, you know, you can fool yourself if you just only committed to stopping him. They are the number one rushing team in football. Chris Ivory is a quality veteran running back. T.J. Yeldon has played very well when given an opportunity also. And Blake is extremely mobile, and his mobility is a factor in the game, whether it's by design, which they have several things to keep you off balance on first and second down, but he also does a great job of creating his plays break down on possession downs with his legs. I thought he had a significant 3rd-and-9 scramble backed up against us in game one. Like I mentioned, they are the number one rushing team in football. Leonard Fournette is the featured guy in terms of that. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. But those other three guys that I just mentioned, I think they collectively have 1,000 as well. And Chris Ivory, T.J. Yeldon, and Blake. So, you know, minimizing their run is more than just focusing on Leonard. Obviously, we got to do a good job there. But we got to do a good job for 60 minutes and in all areas if we want to minimize the ways that they run the ball and the ways that they possess the ball and control the game are in unmanageable third downs because of it. On the other side of the ball, man, you know, it's about rushing coverage for them. They got top flight people up front. You know the names, Calais Campbell, Yannick, Dante, Malik Jackson. I think those four guys have 43 of their 53 or so sacks in the regular season. Man, they get it done. They build their rush off of those four men, and those four guys deliver. Calais has been the bell cow. He plays outside in base. He plays inside in sub. Everybody's got to be ready to block this man. They do a great job with their edge people, 91 and 56, flopping them. both tackles and so forth. Got to be prepared to block those guys. I do a great job with their front in terms of the rush lanes, their rush lane integrity, the way they squeeze and constrict the pocket is awesome. Their back end is brought together by their two Pro Bowl corners, who are playing at an extreme high level. They get picks. They take advantage of the opportunities when presented. I think their starting secondary alone, those four men, have 18 picks. And then their sub-package linebacker, Tevin Smith, has three himself. So the people that play on the back end deliver the splash is exemplified by the interception numbers. The people up front deliver the goods is exemplified by their sack numbers. They create a lot of turnovers. I think they're plus 10 or so on the season. You know it was a factor. The first time we played these guys, we got to work our tails off to protect the football, but it's no easy task. I'm sure everybody that plays them has had similar discussions. These guys do a great job. They get the ball in all ways. They pick it off. They sack fumble you. They're a formidable bunch. And on the other side, they do a great job of taking care of the ball. You know, much is written and said about their run game, and it's a formidable one. It's number one in football. But they've also done a great job of protecting the football. I think Blake's only thrown 13. I think that's the least number that he's thrown in his career. In terms of interceptions, they've done a great job of playing in the plus in terms of the turnovers. We can't allow that to happen if this game's going to unfold in the manner in which we need it to. But I'm sure we would say that about anybody we were playing in January. The big thing for us, with all due respect to Jacksonville, is not about who we play. It's about how we play. We got to play good football. We got to prepare for that. We're in the process of doing it. Look forward to continuing to do that as we push forward toward game time. Be happy to address any questions you might have.
Mike, you referenced the first game. It was in early October. How much do you look at that game from a coaching standpoint, because both teams have changed so much?
You know, you don't look at it a lot. You know, there's a lot of trending in ball. You know, we've evolved a lot since then. They've evolved a lot since then. It is a good physical reference in terms of the matchups. You get to see, you know, Calais Campbell versus our people, for example. I think that's the value in it. But I think we all evolve over the course of the season. I'm talking about teams, and you get a hardening of division of labor. You find your space in terms of how you operate. And I'm sure that they're as different as we are since the last time we've seen them.
Similar question from the other end of the lens. You guys played them for the first time in Week 5. What, if anything, was surprising about what you heard in the field as opposed to maybe what you've done until you started with them?
I don't know that I was surprised by anything. I think that they have as clearly a defined mode of operation as anyone in this field in terms of how they play. They run the ball. They control the clock. They possess the ball. They have corresponding play-action passes and so forth. They play formidable defense. They create turnovers with that defense, and that's how games unfold for them, and that's how they've unfolded for them.
What's the best way to account for a quarterback to show he can run like he did?
You know, we just got to do a great job of rushing and containing. And we've had those challenges before. We've had those challenges early in the year when we played him. We've had those challenges more recently when we played the likes of Mariota and others. So it's not uncommon in today's NFL. At least once a month or so, you're going to be faced with a guy that has the potential to kill you with his legs if you let him.
Given Ben's performance in the first game, we all know the numbers. Does he and the coaching staff have to guard against him wanting to atone for that and maybe forcing things that aren't there?
Not at all. Ben's played ball a long time, man. This is not his first rodeo. His attention will be properly focused on winning the game, not responding to, you know, some regular season October performance. He's just been in too many stadiums for that.
What hurdles does Antonio need to clear in order to be
We just got to watch his progress throughout the week, the quality of it, make sure there's no steps backwards, make sure it's trending in the right way. We're not treating this any different than any other player or injury that we deal with. His practice participation and the quality of it will determine his availability or the amount of availability. I just don't have the answers to those questions as I stand here today.
Mike,
Mike, does Jacksonville's success in the run game, do they use sort of a straight-up blocking scheme, or do they use a zone blocking scheme?
They utilize both. And, you know, I think the backfield stable of guys allows them to do it as well. Leonard Fournette is a downhill, powerful guy who has breakaway speed. They have another guy in Grant who's played quite a bit for them that I didn't mention, that Auburn young man that just got breakaway perimeter speed. They got a nice, well-rounded stable of backs that allow them to attack you in a lot of ways, and you couple that with Blake's mobility, it creates challenging issues in the run game.
Mike, you didn't have Marcus Gilbert the first game. What does he mean, and what's he done, his progress since he's been back?
You know, he's done an awesome job of getting back up to speed. Marcus missed a lot of time this year for a variety of reasons. So, you know, we were comfortable with Hub and the work that he provided us. So I'm not looking for any significant differences there in terms of how the game may unfold because of that availability. But I am obviously glad to have Marcus back and glad that his play is trending in the right direction.
You've again gotten pretty big contributions from your rookies this year. What about this class? Who separates them from previous ones, if any?
I don't know that it does. I thought we had big-time contributions from the group last year as well. I think, you know, the tie that binds is when you have a good football team, usually you're getting contributions from a variety of people, young and old, starters and depth. So I don't know that there's anything significant there. I'm appreciative of their contributions. I acknowledge from my position that if you're going to be what you desire to be, you're going to need plays from young people. But I'm not surprised by what they've delivered us.
To what Hayward and Cole said, that when they look back at the film, the run game that they put out there last time, it's not so much about Jacksonville blowing them off the ball, it's more about Gavin Taylor and filling holes, things of that. Jacksonville did a very good job of exploiting certain holes that they had. Is that how you viewed it as well, and how do you account for
that? But that's NFL football. Nobody gets blown completely off the ball in just big college holes in NFL run games. It doesn't take much in the NFL. A man or two out of his gap, and it could produce a significant day. So nothing earth-shattering or groundbreaking there. We better be on the screws. And you better not find solace in the fact that it wasn't a blow-off-the-ball-like situations. Very rarely is it in a National Football League.
Do you have to prepare for potential weather issues? We'll talk about that. Is it going to be light on your feet on offense if something arises during the game?
Yeah, but that's always the case, particularly, you know, when you get to this point in the season. We don't spend a lot of time debating and talking about those things. It's just part of life in Pittsburgh, PA. It's part of life that we embrace.
Anyone else for Coach? All right.
Thank you, guys.